You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
It is Halloweeny, Sunday, October 31st, 2021. This is the Fakeologist speaking. He is in his own audio chat live stream server room with the great esoteric of New Zealand transplanted into Port Macquarie.
Hello, Rick. Hey, good evening. Oh, what a good timing.
Rick and Rollo.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
I am now, just before this, I was listening to the great Rick and Rollo show, FAC976, and man, that, it's pretty good, actually. It's pretty good. I'm surprised that there's so many people interrupting and so many drunk people. I thought it would be a disaster. Oh my god. It's funny.
I love it
when nobody can talk. Nobody can get a word in edgewise. And you got this guy Diogenes licking Rollo's boots and Rollo's kicking him in the mouth. It's so funny.
It was a controversial one because there was complaints about Diogenes making it too serious, which I didn't think so, actually. I re-listened to it, and because I was there waiting for Rollo, and all of a sudden Diogenes showed up, and he'd been in there fighting with John Le Bon and on the off-channel site, and he kept saying, come in, you know, they're being mean to me type of thing. And I said, look, you got to understand, you know, these people have been around here for a long time, you know, just because you don't get on with them, I'm not going to go in there and sort out your issues.
Do you think it's going to be hard for new people to come in when they hear stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you pick your battles, but Diogenes is a very deep thinker, and we've spoken to him before, he's not 100% on board. He doesn't know a lot of stuff. He's only 30. Well, I shouldn't say only 30, because I think at 30 I was pretty clued up with stuff. But
I didn't realize you were clued up at 5 years old, the way you were going on about your history.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was very much into the unknown at five, because I was watching, you know, the TV UFO, which...
I could barely tie my shoes, and you're in the occult and soundtracks at year five? I could barely feed myself. You're already a Crowley disciple.
Well, no, it was 82. 82, I got into. I didn't get into it.
You're some kind of a cult savant or what?
I think so. Well, no, 1982, when I was, how old would I have been? I was 16. Ozzy Osbourne came out with Mr. Crowley, and I was determined to find out who this Mr. Crowley guy was. And then I found out
Jim Page was into him.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I do. Well, I've told you the story about my brother, who's a skeptic of the highest magnitude now, but he was telling me he was looking after he's a social worker, and he was looking after an older lady and visiting her home to see what she needed for her care package, and she went on to tell him that her husband was a composer in England in the 40s, and that Alistair Crowley used to cycle around to the house and trying to get her husband to write his poems to music, because he was a very big poet, old Alistair, and you know, prolific author, but he was definitely into music as well. And her husband, she was saying, was quite a well-known composer of music and and so they must, so Alistair used to come around on Sundays and have, I don't think it would have been tea, but it might well have been a cup of tea, but could have been something else. And he was determined to get his poetry put to music back in 1946, a couple of years before he died. I think he died in 47. I think he's a real character. He certainly influenced a lot of people.
I was thinking about yesterday's show. Sorry to interrupt, but
there you go.
The only thing that would have made yesterday's show better is if you brought a typo error into the room. He would have been. That would have been hilarious. You would have had a cacophony of drunks.
Well, I was pretty sober, but the had been drinking probably, I don't know what the time was in London.
Yeah. Oh, he was deep.
Oh, he was wasted. And then Rollo came on, and I can assure you he was at his drunkest that you can usually get. He'd been drinking without dying. Yeah, well, he was drinking with John Le Bon to toast the Velocette, which I assume
wedding.
Everyone knows.
Yeah,
the union, yeah. And so he was wasted. And I said to him earlier on, there was a huge chat that went on that wasn't recorded. And I said to Rollo, look, you're not going to be on at 6 o'clock. And he said, read the alphabet to me if you can. And he did a confident joke. And I said, look, I don't think you're going to be around for 6 o'clock. And someone must have muted him, probably Velocette, earlier on. And so Diogenes turned up and we ended up talking. I thought the first part was quite interesting because we were talking about.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad. And anyway, then Rollo turned up and he was very offended that he'd been muted, and then he started accusing Diogenes, who was the guy.
Honestly, I don't even think Rollo knew he was muted most of the time. He was probably talking into the wall. Rollo's a gas. He's such a pop.
Well, I keep saying to him, we'll do the show if you can stay sober at 6 o'clock and just come on and then drink your heart out while we're talking. But if you do what you normally do, and that's start drinking at 9 a.m. or 4 a.m. or whatever he does at his house.
Yeah.
By 6 p.m. he's just not worth talking to, really. And he was getting all argumentative. So yeah, it was a bit of a shit fight, to be honest. But the first part I enjoyed. And
it's
kind of funny
when he's combative.
But listening back to it so far, it's been all right. Except Diogenes decided to sing a song, and I don't know what the song was. It's called something about Moody Sunday or Miserable Sunday, and he sang the song, and I was like, oh, God almighty.
He must love The Cure.
Yeah, well, I don't know what he is, but he was taking the poison and The Cure at the same time. But anyway, so how was Canada today in Samhain, Eve?
It's funny how the weather affects your mood. It's been raining for 2 days quite heavily, and it really drags you down. My goodness, it's so psychological.
I couldn't do what you guys go through, and that's like, was it 6 months of winter, or was it more, 7, 8?
Yeah, I think 6 months is very reasonable to say that. Let's see, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, I'd say 6 months, because things are looking up in April. It can snow in April, it can be cold at the beginning. November, October, we got through October pretty well. It's been pretty reasonable. It hasn't gone below freezing at night.
Yeah.
But next week is November, and we're going to go below zero at night, so yeah, then you start getting the icy mornings.
Oh, God. Well, we've got what I consider, like, I got burnt today. It's called Stand in the Park.
Wow.
A Stand in the Park, which are it's a meeting of like-minded people that are, you know, free thinkers.
Is that a protest?
Yeah, not a protest, it's just a gathering, I would say. And it's around the world, I think, the gathering that it's called Stand in the Park. And I went to it today, and it was a family day, so lots of people there, lots of dogs and kids, and they had a barbecue and food. And what I picked up on is, I haven't talked to these guys for 2 months, so I haven't bothered with them. I know that they've been doing it on a regular basis, but I thought, we're in lockdown, there's going to be cops, and I'm not in the presence, in the mood to have to deal with cops and things like that. And anyway, I went there today and caught up some fantastic people. I'm talking about heavyweights and the freedom movement, and particularly one guy.
Yeah, good for you.
Well, the one guy we've got.
I wish you'd do some interviews.
I'm going to, because Ken Bartel, who's got he claims to be the leading natural law expert in Australia. He's a Kiwi as well, and he's at the moment doing a Bill of Rights, a a whole new logo for the new Australia, if we ever get one, and he's designing all the bits and pieces. Very interesting guy and highly intelligent. He was there, but what I did pick up on is that the organisers of these standing around the park things, they are battle fatigued, and there was an argument. A guy came walking over, and he said, "Look, you guys are, you know, you're denying science, and science is saying that, you know this." And he goes, "Is there any doctors or lawyers or scientists here?" And the guy that organised it, he went straight up to this guy, and there was going to be a fight happening, and I was like, "Oh no!" I just couldn't be bothered seeing this kind of situation. He just lost the plot. The organiser of the stand in the park, and told the guy, he goes, "If you don't like us, fuck off." You know, he was carrying on. It was very combative. And, but I felt like saying to him, look, just calm down, man. Like, you can give this guy the information he needs, and, don't start threatening him just because he doesn't believe, you know, because this guy obviously had the guts to come over and say, why are you guys, is there any scientists here? Is there any doctors here? You know, why are you experts on
health? They're the last person, they're the last people we want to listen to. That's
what I said. And you know what, to be honest, there are a lot of scientists and a lot of doctors out there speaking against the narrative, and in New
Zealand, there really are.
Well, my sister sent me a. I'll see if I can share it. In Tauranga and New Zealand yesterday, they had huge turnouts to demand the vaccine mandates.
Somebody said, "Finally, the Kiwis are
they are now." Yeah, and so I watched a really powerful speech at a park where I'm from in New Zealand, and she got up.
Yeah.
She was
10-year-old?
No, it was in Tauranga yesterday, and I would say there was at least 2,000 people there, which is a huge amount of people for where I'm from. It's quite a reserved place. And
how many people live in where? How many people were you from?
To be honest, but it is a city, so it has to have over 100,000 people. So
it might have
200,000. I'm not sure, but anyway, this doctor got up. The doctor got up and she said, "I'm going to lose my job." She goes, "I've," and she goes, "I'm doing this for my child because I don't want to see my child not know that their mother stood up."
I still sort of think, Rick, I still think we have to remember what this is all about, the Great Reset. And I really think that the healthcare and education system needed to be blown up before everything was talked about. So this is their way of doing it, because neither were working very well anymore. And they were taking the most resources in the Western world. Most budgets of Western countries were soaked up by healthcare and education. And we were not getting acceptable results from either. So they both need to be imploded, but they are so strong, there's so much money, no one was going to yield. No one was going to say, okay, blow up my department. We don't need it. Blow up cardiac. Blow up nobody is going to allow that to happen, of course. That's self-interest, human self-interest. So I really think they want these people to resign, and I don't think they're going to replace half of them. They would rather replace them with a robot or nobody.
Yeah,
it's just like our company. The guy was talking about our company or our sister company. He said, we just had 3 people quit in administration last week. I said, oh, wow, that's a lot, because they've already shrunk a lot. And he said, yeah, they didn't hire anyone. They just told everyone left, saying, you're going to do their job and you're going to do their job. And all these people are now going to be super stressed because they're not going to do 2 jobs for very long before they say the hell with this, and then they go.
Yeah, well, all I know is the medical fraternity. I took my son last week to an osteopath, and I do find the osteopaths and naturopaths and whatever are very much against this vaccine, you know, because they're all into natural health and they don't want something strange injected into their arm.
They're the ones that are trying to deal with the poison toxin. They're the ones that get these patients when the regular system just says we have no idea, because they won't admit they poisoned the people. So they just toss them off to, oh, there's something in your head. Go see a psychiatrist, which is the garbage can of the medical industry.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Andrew Molden said that.
Yeah, he was right on the money.
That's what
psychiatry
is. When the physical medical system gives up saying, no idea what's wrong with you, you're obviously crazy. Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Go and see a psychiatrist. And you know this, Ed, psychiatrist is the highest level of brainwashing you can get to being a in the medical fraternity, because you have to do your six years of medicine and 4 years of psychiatry. So these people have basically never left. They've gone to school at five or kindergarten at four, then gone to school at five, spent their entire school, then gone to university for 4 to 5 years, maybe 6 years, and then done another two or three to get their psychiatry. So they are 30 years of age plus and have never, ever been in the real workforce. So they've got no idea what humans are like. And
that is true. You're right. They're sorcerers. And they can prescribe pharmaceuticals. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so they can, and the stories that I've heard of bad psychiatrists and psychiatrists that shouldn't be practicing are rampant, you know, because again, these people have been indoctrinated into the system from the age of 4
to 5. My favorite psychiatrist, and you'll know this reference, and I just watched a great mashup of her, is Dr. Melfi. Remember her? Where is that from? What television series is Dr. Melfi in?
Oh, well, I don't remember. I remember
The Dr. Sopranos.
Oh, so I've never seen that show. But
you never saw The Sopranos?
No, never. And
I might have to play a mashup of Tony Soprano's best lines. Someone did a great mashup of that. I put it on moreapp.fakeologist.com. I don't watch much television, and I don't read many books, but I did watch all of The Sopranos. I actually rushed home to watch The Sopranos. That's the last time I ever scheduled television in my life, was The Sopranos.
Well, I do believe that Sopranos and the other show about the Breaking Bad are the two of the biggest shows ever done on TV for audience.
Yeah, I never watched Breaking Bad. And by the way, call back to FAC 976. One of the only books, and I'm not a reader, which is probably a real deficiency of mine, one of the only books I actually read was The Amityville Horrors, and you were talking about that. It was so good.
Yeah, I remember.
And it scared the hell out of me. It worked on me.
The Lutzes, the Lutz family, came out, the husband and wife, and came on New Zealand TV on a talk show back in 79, 80, and plugged the show, because I was into that back in the day, and that kind of stuff. And I remember reading the book, and we were all terrified, you know. We watched the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I actually met James Brolin, who was the actor that played George Lutz or whatever his name is, the guy that killed his family in the... No, I think he was the guy that played, James Brolin, the father of Josh Brolin.
I never listened to the movie. Rick, just give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, all good. I'll keep talking. And, you know, I worked on Heart to Heart, the first show I ever worked on, and Robert Wagner and James Brolin were the two main actors on that film or TV show. And I remember, because I was a big fan of him from his Amityville Horror role. Nice guy, big, tall, 6'2", bearded, you know, very charismatic guy and good actor. I thought they did an amazing, that they were doing a kind of no script. They just did their lines, very professional. And being in the movies and stuff, I was sitting there watching it, you know, at this film set. And I was good on Sunday ramble. Starting to ramble.
You don't ramble, do you?
No, but Amityville Horror was a huge, huge thing in the very early 80s.
Yeah.
And I believed it. And then I tell you this,
I never watched the movie, though.
Well, yeah.
You're listening to Abbott Ring.
Hey, a new bumper. Hey, hey.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the
content
we're creating?
Yes.
We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
And thank you for Napoleon Wilson, shout out. He's probably the only one that listens to every audio chat. He probably listens live,
And he probably listens back to the recording, so shout out to... He must have been having an orgasm when the guy was talking about Star Wars yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was good. That was, yeah, that's what I was saying. I was just listening back, and I do remember, because me and him would have a good chat on a normal show, but not Saturday night. It just doesn't work. And Rollo, all Rollo wants to do is talk about fucking playing, you know, some weird shit and drinking heavily. And
how many times did he tell the... kick in the nuts story at least 5 times.
I would say 5 to 6 to 7 times. Yeah.
And, he's like a small child, eh? That guy, he's funny. Rollo, yeah. My God, he's Arrested Development. But I should play the Tony Soprano. The writers for Tony for the Sopranos was David Chase. He was one of the big writers who did one of my favorite show, Rockford Files. And I've watched the whole series a few times.
James Garner.
Yeah.
What was the secretary's name? He had a secretary. There was a couple of shows that.
Rockford never had a secretary.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the other show that. Was another big private detective show, and his secretary, he always had really good looking secretaries. What was that show?
Oh, I don't know that one. Oh, I know Columbo, I know Cannon. What else did I, those are the only ones I watched.
It was one of those American private detective shows back in the thing, and he always had very good looking secretaries, but anyway. But you know, James Garner.
Getting back to psychiatry, there was another HBO thing, and I thought HBO was doing the best work back in the day with Sopranos. There was another series with, I think, Gabriel Byrne. He was a psychiatrist. And the whole show was just him doing psychiatry. And a couple of them were really good, but then I couldn't watch it anymore because they're just too... They're punishing watching psychiatry sessions. But they did a show about that. I wish I could remember the name of it. Shout out to anyone who can remember the name of it.
I used to say that's my son's named after Gabriel Byrne. There you go.
Okay, well, then maybe you could see what the name of that television series... Or it was an HBO series, so it was exclusive to HBO. I'm pretty sure it was Gabriel Byrne. I'm probably wrong about that.
He's a really good actor. I've always loved all his roles.
Just type in HBO psychiatry series. Whenever The Sopranos was, it was around the same time. And as soon as I pull over, I'm gonna play that mashup of Tony Soprano's best lines. And most of his best lines were when he was with the psychiatrist, Dr. Melfi.
Was it called In Treatment?
Yeah, that's it. I think so. Yeah. Was it Gabriel Byrne? Am I got that right? Or did I get that wrong?
It's produced and developed by Rodrigo. This is Rodrigo.
I think it was In Treatment.
Yes, you're right. No, you're right. Gabriel Byrne as Paul debuted on...
Right.
2008.
Okay, wow. I really thought that it was going to be good, but after a while, I just couldn't... It was like the slowest soap opera ever, because he did see the same people over and over, and it was just excruciating. I thought... If this is what psychiatry is, treating rich people, because only rich people can afford $200 an hour, I want to jump off a bridge, because you're not going to get anywhere with these people.
Having an analyst was a thing for New Yorkers back in the day, wasn't it?
Right.
Mainly New York, you know, it was like you have an analyst.
Right,
and
people do with money.
Woody Allen did many parody type things on, you know, your psychiatrist. They really did push psychiatry as necessary for your
mental health. I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, probably because I really hate the guy. You can be a huge fan and really hate what you're watching. You know that. Like some of the best fakeologists are the ones that hate the site and everything about it. It's crazy.
Isn't it
funny?
Well, I'm a Woody Allen fan as well, and I always to watch Zelig. And if you want, it's good if you're into fakery as well, because Zelig was they used very clever techniques very early on where they edited. So Woody Allen played this guy who had multiple personalities, and he'd actually change. Like if he was standing next to a Scotsman, he'd start changing into a Scotsman and start talking like one. And
That's what I do.
Well, let me tell you, recommend to watch Zelig, Z-E-L-I-G. And
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it.
It's really good. And they edit him into, so there's a scene in it where he disappears and they find him in Nazi Germany and he's standing next to Hitler and Hitler's standing doing this march. And they've edited somehow, using the old technique or new technique, have edited Woody Allen to be sitting next to Hitler. And he recognizes Mia Farrow sitting in the audience and she's waving to him and he starts waving back to her. And Hitler turns around.
Oh, my God. I got to watch it just for that scene.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Great movie.
See if you can find that scene on YouTube if you're on your computer. That would be funny. I bet somebody clipped that one.
Zelig at Nazi rally. I'll do that. Zelig at.
I didn't watch a lot of his early movies. I'm more of his last half of his career. One of my favorite movies of all time is Manhattan Murder Mystery. That was so well done. It was so tight. I don't know if you watched that one, but oh, he's so funny because his neurosis on display is so hilarious.
Yeah, I can't find that scene, but I'll just send the teaser trailer to the movie because okay. It's really, really clever. If you've got to have a good sense of humor because put it in show notes.
You know, you got to be smart to watch Woody Allen. Sorry to say.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no, there's no doubt about it.
It's not Idiocracy.
No. Woody Allen has got a very subtle but very powerful sense of humor, and you do realize he wrote. You know, before he became a major star, he wrote for all those. Laughing, and he was one of the team writers.
He is a genius, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, he is, absolutely.
If you compare him to regular people like you and me, the guy's a genius. Anyone that can write that kind of stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah, and write consistently. I'll put this on live stream. Let's see, we go. Bang.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on there. There you go.
He must not be well because I don't think he's pumped anything out lately.
Yeah, I guess so. He's had a bit of a controversial character with his all the accusations and running off.
I wonder if any of that was real.
You know what? Possibly not, because he got demonized big time, and I don't think he's a really nasty character. I don't pick him as being the running off with your stepdaughter is never a good thing ever. But
you got to wonder if any of these guys just find God and just want to turn on the institution of propaganda / movie making that made them famous, and then these guys probably just invent a scandal to crush the guy. You got to wonder if that's the best technique.
I do actually believe that would be a case, because apparently Fatty Arbuckle, who was the biggest, most controversial actor in the 1920s or 30s, got loaded up, and he'd been a very active vocalist against the American going into the First World War, and next thing you know, he was accused of murdering a girl at a party. And I think that might have been a payback to this. This is what if you turn on us, we'll turn on you. And that's what happened. And I only just heard that not long ago. So there could be a there with the Fatty Arbuckle story.
I know the name, but I don't know anything about him. But I know the name.
Yeah, it's all in the book. What's it called? The Hollywood Babylon by Kenneth Anger. I've got both of them.
You know, it would be great if you and John Adams could talk. I would love that. You guys would. Yeah. You guys would have an 8,000-hour show.
Oh yeah. He's good, and he's got a. He's like me. He's not a well-educated, university-educated person, but he's got a great mind, and
he's formally educated, like me.
We're both self-educated, I would say, like yourself, you know.
We gotta reach out to John and see if he'll come back.
I could easily do something there. And well, I do, well, as I say this, he does send stuff to Jay Dyer, and Jay Dyer just says, he goes, and this is on his big
actually I'd like to hear you on Jay Dyer. You would be great on Jay Dyer too.
Dyer's excellent expert on religion and being, you know, what's that, philosophy. So, and I'm not into philosophy at all. I find that philosophy to be extremely annoying.
Well, you can talk about what you're interested in with them.
Well, that's why I loved the Hoax Busters call back in the day, because they were guys that were, to me, people that were just normal people, but they were talking at a different level than anyone else.
Yeah.
So Chris Kendall's a class example of a guy who I would say just didn't fit in and had issues, but he had a very creative, clever thinking mind. And what he did, I mean, you know, contacting the New York Death Index and finding out that, you know, no one else, no, Not many people died that day. It was 600 people as per normal on a New York death index.
Yeah, it's a regular New York day.
Regular New York day. No 3,000.
Just like last year was a regular year in the world of death. Yes. It was the normal death rate last year.
As Frank has very well.
And it's coming out now worldwide. And now the death rate is going up.
Ooh.
And some guy just put in his tweet yesterday, long COVID equals vaccine injury. That's what he thinks is. That's what long COVID is. I mean, it's the most ridiculous phrase, long COVID. What the hell is... I mean, they're making stuff up. It's just crazy. Have you ever had the long flu? I mean, what kind of word? What are we saying here? These new words and phrases.
That's what I was last night. I was talking to Diogenes, and I said about demons. If you replace the word with negative thoughts, it makes a lot of sense. You know,
or virus. I did a post. Demons equals virus. Demons. Back 200 years ago when you were sick, they would just say, oh, he's... They got the demons.
Now it's a virus. We know now. The early Crow discussions, he brought on an Italian expert on homeopathy. And he was trying, this is before COVID, right? This is probably 2 or 3 years before COVID hit. And he was saying that in his mind, the best description of virus was something electromagnetic, not a thing. It was something that's upset in your, you know, because I'm big on
Chinese
medicine. Your system, it's something electromagnetic. It's something that you can pick up off someone. It's like a negative charge type thing. That it was very interesting and well worth. I'll see if I can go through, and it's going to be difficult to go through and find the guy's show, but it really did make sense to me how you described the, you know, when you go to a house and everyone catches a cold and they're all got the same thing. He said this is a electromagnetic thing, not a actual bug flying around making you sick. It's something you pick up as like a negative energy I think there's a there with that.
I think so. Well, we are an electrical system.
We are.
That is built on salt. Our system is salt, and salt is...
And what is, are they demonizing electricity. At the moment? What are they demonizing?
Yes, Frank was going to drop a link about salt. Yeah, he said that.
They're coming after salt. They want to tax sugar and tax salt, or remove salt out of the diet of Americans. Or the
they already have. They reduce salt,
And you realize that the word salary, so the Roman soldiers back in the day, were paid in salt, and that's where the word salary comes from.
The Latin word for salt, whatever that is,
So there's a there with this thing.
Oh, yes. And you want to hear the Tony Soprano mashup?
Yeah, go for it.
And by the way, you can easily pause it if you want to stop.
Just go for it. I'll sync it.
I don't know how long it is. It might be a little long, but I'm going to play it. It might not mean as much to you if you haven't watched the show, but you might pick up some funny things. You won't be able to see it, of course. A lot of the funniest lines where he's in with the shrink, Dr. Melfi, and I think her name is Lorraine something. I can't remember her name anymore.
Lorraine Bracco, is it? Bracco?
Right. Yep. She is... I hated the scenes. I really hated the psychiatry thing.
Did you know there's a lot of... So Jay Dyer did a big breakdown because he'd never watched it either, and him and his new wife.
Oh!
Gorgeous, gorgeous wife. She is gorgeous. Oh, yeah, she's...
You think so?
Anyway, absolutely. And looking and sounding. But they did a breakdown of The Sopranos, and because I'd never watched it, so I listened to it with all the spoilers, and it's very deep. There's a lot of deep subconscious
stuff. David Chase is another genius. Give me 2 minutes.
All good. And I'll keep talking as I can. What was I talking about before? Anyway, I'll just say Jay Dyer and his gorgeous wife have done a very interesting show breaking down The Sopranos, and it's the deep subconscious imagery that was portrayed through it. There's a lot of dream sequences in The Sopranos, apparently, which I haven't watched yet, so I'm no expert. But I will sit and watch it one day, I imagine. Anyway, it's a really beautiful evening in the mid-north coast of Australia. Stars are out like you wouldn't believe. You don't need a telescope in this town. What are stars? Lights in the sky or something a bit more powerful? I think they're something a bit more powerful than just lights in the sky. But that's another discussion we can do.
All right. I'm going to play that clip. It might go... If it goes too long, just
No, that's fine. You just hit it and I'll mute right now.
Because, you know, you're here. I don't want to make the whole show about recording.
No, just morning. All good.
How long do you got tonight?
I can do an hour more easily. I had to drive what seemed like an eon to pick my son up from a Halloween party that he went to with his friends. They're all 15 and they had a great night.
Oh good. I'm glad. My daughter says the younger people, they don't care about this COVID at all. They don't even think about it. They don't care about it. They're sick of it. I think they associate it with boomers because I didn't realize there's a huge hate for boomers. Huge.
Oh yeah.
Hey, really? Yeah. I don't think I hated my parents' generation. Well, my parents are boomers, but we never talked about hate.
I respected my elders. That's a big difference, and I did too.
I actually liked my parents' friends. I liked them all. They were interesting.
Yeah, they were very interesting. You just have to look at musicians. Yeah. Look at Elvis, Jimi Hendrix, and whoever else you want to name. Would you then compare them to a modern musician of today? There's no comparison. These guys were...
No comparison. I think the communists really have it taken over now because they're really turning the generations against each other, and that's what you need when you're building a communist system. You need people to throw away, and I'm so aggravated with my parents, I think that I'm turning against them because... Now I'm getting these hating boomer thoughts in my mind. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy.
Self-hatred.
Well, no, I'm not a boomer, though.
No. I'm telling you, I'm a Generation X.
You're right on the edge. You're right on the edge. Let me play a bit of this. Let's see if this works.
Okay. What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant.
That's Dr. Melfi.
I got sick. I've been thinking. It's good to be in something from the ground floor. I came too late for that. I know. But lately, I'm getting the feeling.
Is Maria Laquita?
Mark Mayer. This is OBS.
Noise level? Foley Milson.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Sorry, Tony.
Keep it down. That was good.
Wait, that's not it. Did Tony stop?
Let me tell you something.
What the hell, huh?
Nowadays, everybody's got to go to shrinks and counselors and go on Sally, Jesse, Raphael and talk about their problems. Whatever happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type? That was an American. He wasn't in touch with his feelings. He just did what he had to do. See, what they didn't know was once they got Gary Cooper in touch with his feelings, that they wouldn't be able to shut him up. And then it's dysfunction this, and dysfunction that, and dysfunction my fungal.
You have strong feelings about this.
Let me tell you something. I had a semester and a half for college, so I understand Freud. I understand therapy as a concept. But in my world, it does not go down. Now that my father's dead, he's a saint. When he was alive, nothing.
Hey, Mikey, that's the boy.
What boy's that, Tom?
The one you sleep with.
Oh, yeah?
I'm serious.
Now, serious is what happens if you don't pay. By my hand.
Trees, ducks, what the fuck are you, Ranger Rick?
What'd you guys do for 12 hours? Play, name that Pope?
He gave me communion.
Oh, I'll bet he gave you communion.
Excuse me?
Well, Carmela, the guy spends the night here with you, and all he does is slip you a wafer?
Just wanted to talk, that's all. All the conversation I get around here might as well be a fucking dildo.
Come on, Jimmy, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Who gives a fuck what she thinks? She calls herself Vishnamata or something. Soprano isn't good enough for her. Fucking wannabe dothead. How come I'm not making fucking pots in Peru? You're born to this shit. You are what you are.
I'm not giving you my engagement ring. This isn't stolen. Is it?
No. What do you think I am?
Sorry I'm late. The alarm was...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Didn't Paulie tell you I ain't been feeling good?
You know what? I wet my ass with your feelings.
Thanks a lot.
Drive the fucking car. We're under a microscope and I got a hair on the street. You shot some fucking civilian in the foot because he made you wait for buns?
Fucking Paulie.
Don't blame fucking Paulie. Occasion comes to me and says Dudley PD's got a description and I'm making the car. Why don't you just leave a fucking urine sample next time?
If I could have done it...
Oh, shut up! And fucking Georgie comes into the club. He's got vomit all over his shirt. I ask him, what the fuck? He says you're digging up somebody you clipped 3 months ago.
I was worried...
Shut up! People do that shit, they want to get caught.
Oh, I want to get caught.
Yeah, you want to get caught. I've seen it before. That's fucking cowboyitis. You want to be a big bad guy, Christopher?
I was worried that I didn't
Shut up!
Last week I called you a whore. I might have been overstating the case a little bit. Uncle June gives head.
World class.
The old man's whistling to the wheat field?
Don't be disgusting.
Oh, he's a bushman of the Kalahari.
See, I don't tell you anything.
Hey, Vin, how you doing? What do you got for me?
It's a good-looking kid. Sure is yours?
Hey, Jay, go shoes out the door.
I'm meeting.
Yeah, but you won't have any teeth left to eat with if you don't get up off your ass and go see who's at the door.
Well, if my dentist looked like you, I'd stay awake doing a root canal.
Like fucking King Midas in reverse here, everything I touch turns to shit. You got any idea what my life would be worth if certain people found out I checked into a laughing academy?
Why don't you grab a sandwich and we'll talk later? I mean, just sleeping over, right?
You know what I want, Tony? I want those kids to have a father.
They got one. This one. Me. Tony Soprano. And all that comes with it.
Go.
You twisted fucking bitch. That's my mother we're talking about, not some fuck up in Attica. Stab you in the shower.
Thanks.
See, we're through, you and I. We're finished. And you're lucky if I don't break your fucking face in 50,000 pieces.
Okay. That's Dr. Melfi's
with. You need to come quotes out of your mouth and get to the fucking point, because I don't know what you're talking about. You're in danger.
Get out of here. That's not fair.
Fair? What are you talking about fair? Oh, God, it's fair. They don't give a shit about fair.
I have patients who are suicidal.
Well, they're not going to feel any better about their life if you get clipped.
He's not the type that deserves help.
Who do you think does?
The worst people. The twisted and demented psychos who kill people for pleasure. The cannibals. The degenerate bastards that molest and torture little kids. And they kill babies. The Hitlers. The Pol Pots. Those are the evil fucks that deserve to die. Not my nephew.
What about you?
What? Hell? You been listening to me? No. For the same reasons. We're soldiers, you know. Soldiers don't go to hell. It's war. Soldiers, they kill other soldiers. We're in a situation where everybody involved knows the stakes. And if you're going to accept those stakes, you gotta do certain things. It's business. We're soldiers. We follow codes. Orders.
So does that justify everything that you do?
Excuse me, let me tell you something. When America opened the floodgates and let all us Italians in, what do you think they were doing it for? Because they were trying to save us from poverty? No, they did it because they needed us. They needed us to build their cities and dig their subways and to make them richer. The Carnegies and the Rockefellers, they needed worker bees, and there we were. But some of us didn't want to swarm around their hive and lose who we were. We wanted to stay Italian and preserve the things that meant something to us, honor and family and loyalty. And some of us wanted a piece of the action. Now, we weren't educated like the Americans, but we had the balls to take what we wanted.
To the victor belongs the spoils.
Why don't you get the fuck out of here before I shove your quotations book up your fat fucking ass?
If you can't be honest with me, at least have the balls to be honest with yourself.
Oh, I got balls. And as long as I do, they will remain intact. Rich man and a poor man, they got the same wedding anniversary. Every year they meet on Madison Avenue when they're shopping for their wives. So the poor man says to the rich man, would you buy your wife this year? He says, I got her a huge diamond ring and a brand new Mercedes. Poor man says, where'd you get it both for? Rich man says, if you don't like the diamond ring, she can bring it back in the Mercedes and still be happy. Rich man says to the poor man, where'd you get your wife this year? He says, I got her a pair of slippers and a dildo. Rich man says, what'd you get her a pair of slippers and a dildo for? Poor man says, if she don't like the slippers, she can go fuck herself. Sausage, Spanish? Oh, I forgot. You don't eat pork. In that way.
I had a quarter for every time I heard that. Since you learned to talk, I'd have a private jet on 24-hour standby.
There's a Zuni saying, for every 20 wrongs a child does, ignore 19.
There's an old Italian saying, you fuck up once, you lose two teeth.
That was my child?
You know what? Fuck this! You got a lot of fucking balls, you know that?
Don't talk to me like that, Tony.
No, let's clear the air here.
You come right into town like some Vishnu come lately trying to play the concerned daughter. Who the fuck are you kidding? You're just here to pick the friggin' bones.
There's a lot I could say right now that I am not gonna say.
A lot of bulls.
And we got history together.
Yeah. Israel and fucking Palestine. You got a lot of balls, you know that? You go to Catholic school and your mother wants it.
Yeah, what does she know?
She knows that even if God is dead, you're still gonna kiss his ass.
Do you remember one thing that you better hear? You wanna talk all this old school bullshit about the rules? Well, here's a rule you might remember. I'm the motherfucking one who calls the shots.
There are more Nobel Prize winners in the San Francisco Bay Area than anywhere on the planet.
Nobel Prize for what? Packing fudge?
You know, you're like the old woman who's got a Virginia ham under her arm and she goes around crying because she's got no bread.
You know, I fucking hate the way you make me fucking ride you. Now get the fuck out of here.
But sometimes I feel... I don't know. You motherfuckers. I had a dream I fucked your brains out. Right on that desk.
Richie's gone.
Well, what do you mean gone?
Gone.
Where?
Carmel, after 18 years of marriage, don't make me make you an accessory after the fact.
An accessory after the... Holy shit.
Stop asking.
Because that sugarless motherfucker, the last fucking drink you're ever going to have.
Oh, God, Mommy! Mommy, please, Tony, please!
I need $200 for November to put in my student account.
You don't talk to me for weeks, but my money's still green.
Silence. Anger. And then you pass out and you blame the rest of the fucking world.
You're both very angry.
Yeah, you must have been at the top of your fucking class.
You could have called. Now everything's cold.
Well, that's why they invented microwaves. For inconsiderate husbands.
Those eyes are deep.
Complicated.
I said deep. You said complicated.
You said dark.
I spit it out. Whenever I bring her up, you get this weird push. And then you ask me, does she seem happy? Like maybe she's not. Or does she remind you of somebody with that weird push on? Like you don't like it. Mofo, or whatever the fuck you call our relationship.
She's complicated.
I said complicated. Dark, you said.
I said her eyes are dark. I don't want to fuck my mother. I don't give a shit what you say. You're never going to convince me.
Is that what your coach laid out for you as a training breakfast?
How's he doing?
He's fat. Faces of Death? What was the Sound of Music already rented?
Maybe the College of Hard Knocks is what she needs. Let's see if she likes it when some gypsy lifts her wallet. Let her find out you can't work over there without a permit, which the French hang on to like they're bulls.
So how's your love life?
Why don't you mind your goddamn business?
I don't know. It kind of feels like it is my business, considering I had to haul your last boyfriend out of your kitchen in a hefty bag.
Oh, this boring cocksucker. Jehovah's Witnesses are more interesting.
So you finally read a book and it's bullshit.
Tony, when's the last time you had a prostate exam?
Hey, I don't even let anybody wag their finger in my face.
Hey.
Hey, yourself. What the fuck, John?
I got nothing to say.
You got nothing to say? That fucking kid is in intensive care.
I thought he worked for Ralph.
And Ralph works for me, so I ask you again. What the fuck?
That's enough of you and your stupid fucking remarks. Go back to Miami and play volleyball, whatever the fuck it is you do down there, or we clean up your fucking mess.
Why the fuck didn't you help her?
Sometimes you can't.
I bet you charged her enough, didn't you, huh? I bet you didn't cut her a deal because you're a fucking incompetent.
So you and Bobby Bacala, huh?
So that's it. What is so fucking compelling to you about my personal business?
Jesus Christ, am I such an ogre? I was just going to say he's a nice guy. I salute. I got to have an agenda?
I'll tell you one thing. One suicide is bad enough, but two? They can both go fuck themselves.
The heart wants what the heart wants, I guess.
Heart also wants what the dick wants.
Bravo?
Yeah, I'm Starsky and this is Hutch.
Unless you want something, motherfucker, get the fuck off our street.
Oh, the language on you. You blow your father with that mouth?
I've been holding a grudge against you for recommending that Wendy Cobbler, that half-ass adolescent shrink. That stupid bitch almost sent my daughter to Barcelona.
Give the subject a piece of paper. Ask him to draw a circle, fold the paper in half, and give it back. These
the method old bats can't do that.
Maybe you should just wipe your ass with the paper, then they'll know you're a whack job.
Can't I just be sad? For a horse, what out some touchy-feely, Freudian shit component to it.
What do you think the dream means?
Can't you just tell me what the fucking thing means? I mean, you obviously know. Why do we have to go through this exercise every time? The old guys were different. Men in the front, wives in the back.
You like that arrangement?
Actually, I think the wife should ride in a little cart behind the car, like in the cartoons. Like behind Noah's Ark, there's a little boat with the skunks.
So wives are skunks.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. It's a fucking joke. Does it have to be like a cancer hospital in here?
Let's get back to the dream.
Oh, fuck the dream. It's just a dream. Jesus Christ, the money I've been dropping in here, I could have bought a fucking Ferrari. At least I would have got a blowjob out of that. I mean, come on. I've been coming here 4 years now. I've been a good sport. Huh? You know why she didn't want to see me anymore? She said that I was high maintenance. And this is after all the time and all the money and all the fucking Prozac and all the fucking cocksucking motherfucking dream interpretations. And she said she didn't want to prop me up. And this from a broad that walks around on crutches half the time. Nice, huh?
That was written when? The 19th century?
Yeah, I didn't even know they had fags back then.
AJ.
No offense.
I'm not gay.
You're not?
No.
You think for me it's all about things.
No, I forced all this shit on you. What you really crave is a little Hyundai and a simple gold heart on a chain. I could converse with her because she had something to say.
I am here. I have things to say.
Besides, bring the fucking chairs down and did you sign the living trust? She's a grown fucking woman who's been kicked around and she's been on her own and she's had to fight and struggle.
One of my therapists was a woman.
Too bad you didn't get all your talking done with her.
And the detergent.
And the detergent. Of course, what's wrong with me?
I don't know.
But we'll find out.
Leave it to Dr. Tony. What do you think? You're the only Catholic here, Camilla? I'm old school. I don't believe in a separation shit and divorce. Even if my wife was going after some fucking immigrant.
Yet you are modern enough to use a cell phone to call Italy and every other fucking place to threaten the guy's life.
Well, that's right. Certain people see him. He's a dead man.
He had coffee here, Tony. That's all.
And now the coffee maker sucks. How you like them apples?
Tony, relax. It's not a big deal.
It's undermining. And it's the kind of stuff I'm teaching my kids not to do. So I don't want to hear it again. End of subject.
All I know is you never had the makings of a varsity athlete.
Oh, son of a...
What?
Did I just tell you not to say that again?
Say what?
You don't like the way I talk? Get out of my house.
Tony?
No, Tony, shit. Get your coat. We're leaving.
I'm gonna kiss the ring.
How about the one in the center of my head? Isn't there something in your parole about hanging out with degenerates like this?
Oh. Hey, come on.
I said, as long as you don't step on anybody's toes.
In my day.
And that's another thing. I don't want to hear no more about how it was in your day. You just keep your antidotes to local color, like Dynaflos or Maguire Sisters or shit like that. Otherwise, shut the fuck up!
It would be like committing an act of symbolic incest.
Whatever.
You could tell her she means a great deal to you, but you think of her as a daughter.
Even if I want to fuck her brains out.
What'd that fag want?
Jesus Christ, Tony. Everybody's a fag to you. You know, maybe you're a fag. You ever think about that?
Can I help it if I know one when I see one?
No, really? What are the signs? Education? Culture?
Sucking a guy's cock usually tips me off.
Something about always rubbed me the wrong way.
Maybe because she was rubbing him and not you.
You got some balls, kid. I'll give you that much.
You'll give me what I tell you to give me.
All the time.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Fuck that. This ain't the 70s. And I'm not a kid.
Relax. It's an expression.
Well, here's another expression. You got 5 days to give me my money.
A doctor in the house, huh? That's good, because somebody usually goes down at these things.
The only reason you have anything is because of my fucking sweat. And you know every step of the way exactly how it works. But you walk around that fucking mansion in your $500 shoes and your diamond rings. And you act like butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. You don't want it to get ugly. Too late.
I want what I am entitled to.
You're entitled to shit. You know, sometimes what happens in here is like taking a shit.
Yes, okay. Although I prefer to think of it more like childbirth.
Trust me. It's like taking a shit. I wonder what's French-Canadian for I grew up without a mother. Sacre bleu, where is me mama? You don't want to bow down. You told him to go fuck himself. Which, to be honest, wasn't exactly appropriate, considering.
Oh, is that right?
With all due respect.
What the fuck do you know what goes on in my head?
I've known you since you were a kid, Tom. Frankly, you've got a problem with authority.
All due respect, you got no fucking idea what it's like to be number one. Every decision you make affects every facet of every other fucking thing. It's too much to deal with, almost. And in the end, you're completely alone with it all. This is the course I've chosen. And those of you that are not with me on it, well, that makes me sad. And it'll be dealt with in time. Read his price, and that's it. I don't want to hear nothing else.
Oh, you don't?
I paid enough, John. I paid a lot.
I don't give too much of a shit what people do behind closed doors with the consenting adults. Look at this guy. Not a day over 76.
Can we segue now into something more pressing?
The floor is yours, Senator.
Get out of my room, you sick cunt. So let me ask you right off. Is there any chance of a mercy fuck? Oh, I mean him.
Hold on a sec.
You guys got more buttons than my grandmother's fucking corset.
Telling Mom about these people that came into the office yesterday.
Now, I had no idea the level of language on the show. So
Was that too much for you?
No. Come on. I mean, look, I use all those words fluently as well. But
That show is honestly, it's one of the best shows ever.
Yeah, my father is an absolute fanatic on it, and my sister bought him the box set. And I was wondering why he was so upset with it, but now I can work out it was a lot more adult than I thought it was. I just thought it was a TV show, you know, in the lines of...
No, I think it was a trendsetter because of the language and because it probably really... I've never been in the mob, probably never will, but it's probably very representative. It's very real. That's probably how people talk. And James Gandolfini was just unbelievably good.
Yeah, interesting. You're listening to Rick and
Rick and Sotoni.
Long after the threat of Rona is gone, said, oh yeah, we'll never take it off. Long after the spread of Rona is gone, the mask on.
If love makes the world go round, a pandemic can bring it to a standstill.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
One of the best parts about radio is when you don't have the visual, you concentrate much more intensely on the audio. And I hear things that I didn't really hear because you get so distracted by the video portion of these clips.
Well, I've shared onto the live stream show notes the breakdown, the analysis of The Sopranos by Jay Dyer and Jamie Henshaw, his now wife. So it's Jamie Dyer.
Yeah. Okay.
And I recommend listening to it because, as I said, I've never watched a single episode of it, but I do know about the show, like I know about Breaking Bad, another show I've never watched an episode of. But my children have all watched Breaking Bad. They haven't watched, I've never heard them going on about The Sopranos, but my father was a massive Sopranos fan, so it was probably because of it a bit of...
You may want to try this. Start off, actually, just like any television series, the first ones with his mother, and whatever the actress was, she actually died in real life, so then they wrote her out of the script, but the mother thing is super powerful in the first couple of years. His mother complex?
That's brought up on the analysis that, I don't watch any of these horror movies that are coming out or any of these shows that we've got, like Black Mirror. I've never seen a single episode of any of them. But I listen to Jay Dyer and his mate does the Conspiracies and Unpopular Culture podcast, and they break down and do analysis with spoilers. So I actually hear the analysis and I do understand and kind of know what those shows are about via that. Yeah. Because I agree with that, what Alan Watts said. The mind has no firewall and I think that was actually an American military paper about the mind having no firewall. kids are watching these horror movies, and I was the same.
The subconscious.
So if you look at a movie like Clockwork Orange, one of the parts of the movie that the protagonist is set to, they try to deprogram or reprogram or whatever they do, and they put them in front of a screen and they put extreme violence and they play Beethoven in the background or whatever it was to, or they try to, whatever they do. Nowadays.
They did that in a lot of the Godfather movies. Same theme.
Yes.
Didn't they play some sort of peaceful music while they shoot the guy in the head?
Yeah, they certainly, what they did, one of the, I go on about this one, and one of the best scenes of Goodfellas, one of my favorite gangster movies ever.
Maybe it was Goodfellas, yeah.
Yeah. When they kill the guy that goes, you know, go get your shoe shine to Joe Pesci, they kill this guy, but in the background they play a Donovan song, the song Atlantis, which is a hippie anthem. So they kill a guy with a really brutal way with their feet. You know, they're using their boots to kick the guy in the head till he nearly dies. But in the background, they play this beautiful Donovan song, Atlantis, which is a really hippie, peaceful, lovely song. And Vietnam is another song. They sold Vietnam after the effect back in the late 80s and early 90s with a show, the Band of Brothers show. It was about a team of... And team of soldiers in Vietnam, and they use 60s songs as the soundtrack. So you're watching, and even in the movie Apocalypse Now, they used classical music when they come and invade and kill. So there's a thing about
music. Music is so important.
It puts your
mind in a space.
Yeah. So what we were doing, we were watching horrific Vietnam footage, but with really cool Creedence Clearwater songs and bits and pieces. So there was a desensitizing of the actual brutality of war with a lovely, popular 60 songs. So
I don't think you read my blog, but maybe you see the post come through in the Discord. If you go to Fakeologist blog next channel, at Discord,
I commented today on the Fakeologist blog, not on site, but on the Discord.
On Discord.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it gets lost forever there. But,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, I will get onto that blog, Bizzo, eventually.
There's something for everyone. But I posted Jason Christoph, and he is fantastic. Try and listen to him if you can. Mm-hmm. He was saying just what you're saying about the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind has no firewall. And the subconscious mind takes everything in. It transcribes everything. You don't notice. But when something is repetitive, that's when your conscious mind picks it up, and that's how they get you. So if we keep saying COVID will kill you, COVID will kill you, then your conscious mind will notice it and pick it up.
Yep.
Just subconsciously. And that's exactly what you're saying. And that's why propaganda is so required, because even if you're resisting it consciously, you're still receiving it.
Yeah, and this goes back to Edward Bernays in his book Propaganda, where he says there are people out there that are shaping your mind and controlling your mind, people you will never know their names. And you won't know that they're doing it. You won't even know that they're doing it. And that's why I keep going on about the music, the way that they use music to desensitize you or to bring certain memories back again. New Zealand's a classic case. Like, I remember going back there back in the late 80s and 90s and thinking, I feel like I'm back in 1960 because all the music I'm listening to is like 1960. And I think it was an experiment, or they were using this trial that every time you switched the radio on, you were listening to something, a pleasant song from 1967 or 66, some pop song. And no matter how badly the things were changed over there, you still think you were back in 1969 and when life was good and everyone had a job and the mother didn't need to go to work and things like that. So there's a there with this subconscious. And the guy
say we're doing a repeat of 1968
last year was 68, this year 69, and he's on the money 100% because on the same day that Charles Manson, son of man, Manson, did his supposed killing. They had the guy that...
No, he never killed. He only suggested it, remember?
Exactly.
He didn't do any killing.
Oh, look, absolutely. We can go on about Manson. He was a Scientologist. It was a very... 100%. Nothing happened. Nothing, whatever. But we were given this doom scenario just before they rolled out the heroin and doom rock and dysfunctional music of Iggy Pop back in 1970. It all appeared at the same time. And Iggy Pop put they put a song called 1969 in 1969.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, but it was all destructive and bad and destroying the peace, love and bogle bread, or, you know, peace, love and mungans and all that stuff. And they introduced this horrible, you know, the My Lai massacre. I mean, just say the word My Lai or Me Lai, and it's obviously that was an operation in itself. You know, it was a lie, and they...
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Well, it was apparently, this is the story. In 68 or so, a team of American soldiers went into a village and someone caused a disruption or whatever, and they machine gunned and killed a whole lot of women and children. This is the story. Me Lai Massacre. And Me Lai, you know, you got it in front of your face, you know.
Right.
My lie, me lie, whatever it was. You're given the story in a.
What is the purpose of that? To make the American public hate the soldiers?
Yes. Yeah. That was the whole part of the whole of Vietnam was a total psyop, 100%.
Oh but yeah.
They did flood the country, which was a very beautiful, peaceful country, and went with the North Vietnamese government that was probably set up by the military to go and remove independent farming communities off the land and push them into the big cities so they could start the big industrial complex that they started there. So and ended up drug running. And well, when I say drug running, I mean they took over from the French the heroin industry, because those opium fields in that area run by the French were kicked out. The Americans came in with help from the British and Australians and New Zealanders and redid the whole what we call the, you know, like you've got what's the company, the British Tea Company, Royal Tea Company, or East India Tea Company. Well, the South India Tea Company went, and a North Indian Tea Company came in and replaced them to run drugs. Yeah,
Shout out to Jason Christoph. He also mentioned that the purpose of war is to cull young men on both sides. That is the purpose. Because the most dangerous people in any society to the elite are the young men. Because
strong, that's what I keep saying about
testosterone, they have nothing to lose.
And the mass vaccination that they do on recruits.
Soldiers.
So they get they don't get one or two, they get 30 shots of some toxin, and they have to walk down.
They turn them into zombies.
And one of the ones which is causing, because they keep going on about this, which I do believe is a thing, but it's not a thing, is the after effects of stress, the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, that's from vaccinations. That's what Andrew Molden said.
And the side effect, one of the vaccinations that you get is the vaccination for malaria. And if you read the medications, just read the list of side effects from that particular drug that they use for that particular illness, and it's suicide.
Yeah, I know that was something in the Canadian military. I can't something like that.
Hydrocholoquine, or the one that Trump was going over. That is a natural one.
No, the one, whatever they gave to the Canadian soldiers that went overseas, it's some neurotoxin that.
Neurotoxin, yes.
It's a neurotoxin that wrecks the brain. Yeah.
It does, its side effect is manic depression and suicide. Just like Prozac.
It's not a side effect. It's an effect. I hate calling it side effects because the main purpose is to cause brain damage. And that is
the most important people to break are the young military, trained up young people that have gone in there, did they join the army for whatever reason.
That's how they find the most aggressive men.
And get rid of
them. Join the army.
Give them as many toxins as possible. And that's why even over here, the thing I went to today, there's two guys there with post-traumatic stress. They were in Afghanistan. They've got manic depression. They're both being permanently treated for their psychiatric issues. They've got massive, you can tell by just speaking to them, they've got brain damage.
Do they have crooked faces?
Yeah, they do, actually, funnily enough.
Start looking at the faces, because that means they have paralysis.
Now, I must do a shout out like Rollo does to famous celebrities, but I'm telling you that Northern Tracy, she is a talent and I think she is fantastic. I listen to both the shows. Yes, I do.
Yeah, oh, good. Yeah. Great thinker.
But she's, I don't know what she's probably my age, I guess, you know, in the late 50s.
And I agree.
I understand everything she said, and she sounds totally genuine to me. So I'm very glad that
she made smart. I'm glad she came on board. I think I could talk to her for a week.
Absolutely. And listen to
And it. I didn't even read any of her posts. I wanted her to read them on the show because they're so much common sense.
Well, I'll say you and Marcus and stuff, because you bounce off each other. Like me and Rollo, you bounce off each other. You can kind of read.
You need someone else. It's really hard to do it yourself.
You and Marcus bounce off each other. Yeah. He understands what you're saying and what he's saying.
And I are doing pretty good now.
Oh no, we're the same generation and we've got the same age children, basically, I would say. And you understand the point of rearing children and, I let them be themselves. I'm not going to stand over them and demand, if you get vaccinated,
I'll be in upstate.
I've got one in there now that his mother goes, he's doing too much of this and too much of that. And I said, listen, I know for a fact that what she was getting up to when she was 17.
Give me 2 minutes, Rick. 2 minutes.
Yeah, all good. Yep. You are listening to Rick and Ab on fakeholders.com. And, I'll change the subject to, let's go back to what we're talking about before. Zelig. If anyone's listening and they want to watch a funny movie, watch Zelig by Woody Allen and see the special effects that they use to edit him into famous historical scenes. If you've got a great intelligence and you can understand what he's doing and, realize that it's just fakery, but this is going on to real nowadays. And then the other movie I talked about last night was Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, which is using the exact same special effects to edit in Steve Martin and the beautiful Rachel Ward, who I've met before and lives in Balmain, where I've been living for 35 years. They use the technique of editing in live action into an older movie. And if you've got, a bit of knowledge about old movies and things like that, watch Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid at 100%. You'll enjoy it. Not for everybody, but if you've got an intelligent mind, I'm not discriminating here, but I'm saying that a dummy won't pick up on it. Napoleon Wilson, yes, you'll pick up on it. We know that you're smart. We know you are smart. So, and we love to know that you're listening, Napoleon, and I understand your issues. I have those same thoughts sometimes. But anyway, good on you, man. You are a legend. Be told. And Diogenes, if you ever listen to this, you've got a good mind. And I love the fact that you're open-minded and you can listen. I mean, not many people could come on to fakeholders.com and hold court. You did. So good on you, man. Yeah. Rambling away.
Good song.
As I said about the fart podcast, there will never be dead air on that show ever.
we gotta get noise level back.
We need
an update from him just once in a while.
I will contact him. Yeah. I will absolutely, but because I'm using what I've done, I've got a brand new iPhone. Well, not a brand new. I've got an iPhone 11, so I'm kind of one or two behind.
What are we up to now with iPhones?
13.
I can't believe they use 13. You think they'd bypass that one, like in the elevators?
Well, they bypassed 9. If you remember, they went from 9 to 2, and then all of a sudden the 10 came out, and then iPhone 11, which was a bit suspicious.
Use Samsung.
Do you then? Marcus is I just saw a shooting star, Ab. What would that have been?
I don't know. Someone died? Is that Bill Gates? Jeffrey Epstein? Elon Musk?
I just saw a star plummet in front of me. So, yeah, there's shooting stars are a thing. Yeah. We've got, I'm telling you now, and I exaggerate, you're not, we've got beautiful stars in Australia, where I am. We've got a bit of cloud cover, but I just saw a shooting star, which means a bright white light just drops out of nowhere and goes, I don't know where it goes, but
that's a studio light dropping from the top. It's like in the Truman Show.
Funnily enough,
Dog Star.
Son, yeah, exactly. My son sent me tonight because he's starting to wake up a bit. I think, to be honest, I put a post.
Which one? You got a couple sons, don't you?
Yeah, you're listening.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important.
Who's it going to be now?
Hi, I'm Baby from Melbourne, Australia. You are listening on fakeologist.com.
Baby. Man, he made a donation. Thank you, Baby.
Yeah, he's a good man. I'm a big Baby fan. And I'll tell
good
you what,
we've got.
And I suggested a couple of weeks ago, Critical Sinker and Beavis to do a show together. And guess what? They've done two. So,
yeah, that's true. I haven't listened to either of them. I'm behind.
Well, do yourself a favor because they're good, but there's a few issues with some of the sound and some of them, but, very, very interesting. Yeah. Cause I mean, they're both from technically exactly the same area, I believe. And I think they may have gone to the same school that Chris Mum went to. Mm. So, and John Le Bon, I think, also grew up in the same area because they've all got very similar voices to me. Australian.
Yeah.
So,
Critical Sinker has an international accent now, Italian and English.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
His has been corrupt.
It's to me it's that there's a particular Australian strain of accent and what's his name, Frank's got a very good voice as well, even though he was born in England, I do believe, in Liverpool.
So
he's born where Rachel is. And I've got to say, a good shout out. Rachel, she is a fantastic poster. That girl really, really does do some good stuff.
Great shout out to Rachel. She gave 33 as well. Very
good.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy her postings. And she should be back doing her own stuff on Discord, getting her voice back out there. Her and Napoleon missing in action.
Yeah, Napoleon should come back.
Yeah, he just got to
get over his hang up.
Rollo.
Yeah, he's got to get over it.
Get over Rollo. It's like.
Everyone else gets over Rollo.
Yeah, well, once you get to know him and you understand that he's got an issue, and he really does.
He's got so many issues. They're all at once.
It's manic depression with Asperger's rising.
Asperger's and a drunk.
And a drunk. But
and
not
a drug addict.
And a drug addict. So he's got 3, 4, 5. He ticks all the boxes.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone else has spent as much time with him as I have, apart from his
wife. You know him well.
Yeah. And going out with him is a revelation. You know, it's like he attracts people like a moth. He's one of these people he's just got a vibe about him, and like people come
he's
up
got a
to
magnetic
him
and, personality.
Oh, look, that's the word I would use. Yes, magnetic personality. And we were at the Angels in 2 years ago, a big live concert outside, and people were coming up and they were just looking at his t-shirt and they had to come and talk to him, and he was holding court with all these people. I said, man, how do you do, like, why are they following you around? Like, he actually does attract people because he just stands there and people come up to him and want to look at his t-shirt.
Wow.
He always managed, it's really true. He's got a there's a vibe about
it. Vibes.
But it's not a bad one.
That's what someone said about Elvis. I love that documentary about Elvis. The guy just said he's got vibes. Elvis got vibes.
Yes.
I know I have no vibes. I'm vibeless.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Some people have charisma, you know?
Yeah, but Ab, what you've done on this panel, you've attracted some of the most vibey people, like a moth to
that
your
is true.
Track. And yes.
Well, I had to work at it. It's hard to get people out here and to talk, but yeah, I've worked at it a bit. I do the technical stuff.
Yeah, well, stuff I can't do. I mean, it's beyond me, 100%. It's like,
yeah.
I do enjoy.
Yeah, we got some great people here. Great people.
I listened to, I'll tell you the one. It was the one I was talking about before. Someone advised me to listen to this particular guy and blow me down. He ended up doing an interview on Tinfoil Hat podcast with Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the guy, he calls himself, whatever his name, but he calls it the Woo. He talks about this funny business going on the planet. He calls the Woo. And he's on the second to last podcast with Sam Tripoli. But what they discuss is technology and the internet, and you would love it because it's all breaking down, and some of Bellicet would love it as well. He talks, because he actually, this particular guy who, my good friend that came around today, and me and him went to this protest thing, who is
If you think I'm good, this guy's 50% on top of me. He knows more than I do, but he's just an amazing. Anyway, he told me to listen to this particular guy. Blow me down, he turns up a week ago on Sam Tripoli's show. What they're talking about, though, is the technology of the internet that you would enjoy. So I'll find it and I'll share it to the live stream.
I think I have Sam Tripoli's podcast in my roster, but I don't think I can stand.
Yeah, he's in the way. Yeah, look, I agree. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of
scary. I don't know why, but
it's a bit childish.
Maybe that's it, but I have, it's not on my rotation because I just don't like this kind of talk. What's the show number? He numbers his show. I'm looking at it now quickly.
Okay. It was
504, 503.
I think 503 possibly. I'll tell you right now, actually. I'll look it up.
Yeah, give me the number and I'll add it to my list.
The surname of the guy is High. It's his surname. So here we go. I'll find it. Listen now. Up next.
Nick Hinton?
No, his surname's High.
Okay, literally. So it's not 503 then.
Yeah, so it'd be 502. Oh, here we go. And Cosmic Egg, Quantum Locking with Benjamin Balderson, Nick Hinton. Oh, Cliff High, and it's called Facebook Hack, QAnon, and the Self-Organizing Collective with Cliff High.
Okay, I'll add that. Yeah, I'll actually delete it.
It's 502.
I pressed the delete button, what a moron.
It's number 502. Now, I agree. I find Triple E annoying in his, you know, swearing and childish. There's a couple of other American podcasters, they've got to swear a lot and bring up stupid sex things all the time. When they don't need to, that they're already interesting people, but they think that their audience wants to hear, you know, stupid thick stuff. And, you know, I've moved on. Back maybe when I was 25, I might have been interested in it, but now, you know, I'm more spiritual.
Is that how young people talk? Is that why Joe Rogan is so popular, the way he talks?
Yes.
I don't even like Joe Rogan either.
I don't like it either, because, I mean, I'm a believer that you do it, you don't talk about it, you know what I mean? And the people that I find talking about it, I reckon don't do it at all. They're miserable.
Way he talks. I'm not a Rogan fan. I know he gets all the guests, though, so you kind of have to listen.
Well, yes, he does. And I'll reiterate, I think I was talking to you or someone the other night, that Eddie Bravo brought up the half an hour on the jet fuel hoax and dinosaur hoax, which I thought, if he's saying that, he's got an audience of millions, I would say, or at least a million. I think I mentioned this last night, there will be a big influx of fakeologists.com next year, next year, I believe.
I gotta get on the Joe Rogan show, and that's how I can get an influx.
Yes, that's what I was saying. I've lost my interest. I would not like to be a celebrity. I could not cope with people knowing who I was, and so that's not part of, like, John LeBron would, there's the opposite. He would love to have 10 million people listening to what he says. I'm happy to have 5 people that understand me and that I know and I like. I'd rather have 5 people than 10 million, whereas John LeBron would like to have 10 million.
You probably have thousands of listeners, actually, on this show.
I know between my cats and Rollo's dog and people in New Zealand and family members, I'd have more than, you know, a few people, but I'm not interested in making money. And last week I was talking about, you know, contacting so-and-so and doing this thing, and I was thinking the other day, I was like, I don't want to be, like, it's like Chris Kendall was a classic example that he would be happier in a little tent living happily, cooking his own food and talking to a couple of close friends than having 50 million people listening to everything that he said and contacting him and demanding to, you know, some people want to be messiahs. I don't want to be messiah, you know, and I don't want to be privately that want to talk to me. I do a lot of talking offline, not online. And the people that contact me are all people I think realize that, you know, that I can speak some sense and they're like enjoying a conversation. So I'm quite happy to have 3 people or 4 people. To have 50,000, 100,000 or 10 million people, whatever, that would be my nightmare, because that's why these celebrities they end up towing the line and being threatened for saying things. It's because I don't think people in power like people having more say than them, and they will pick on you and send 100 people to harass you. Like, you know, that's what happened to Alan Watt. Once he started going on
I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, he was going on forever. Yeah, well, he was a very intensively private podcaster that he did his show released that he didn't do live chats and have people ringing him and contacting him. People, if they wanted to send money, they could send money. I don't think he responded to private emails unless you sent him money. And well, good on him, you know. It was a private person.
He had caller in or sometimes. I don't know if they're the old shows or...
I've got one with Chris Kendall ringing him and one with John Adams ringing him and asking him questions back from 2011.
I need those.
Yeah, it's not one of those, but I'll find them if I can. Yeah.
Find them, send them on, that'd be great.
Yeah, because he was the guy that got those guys
going out
in action for sure. And I just think no matter is he alive or dead, I think he sounded so sick, and the fact he was doing 4-hour shows towards his death or disappearance, he knew he was going, and he was doing as much as he could before he left, and he sounded sick, to be honest. If you listen to his last few shows, his voice.
What do you think he died of? He was a big smoker.
I would say cancer of the lung or something like that, just by the sound of his voice, and that's why I'm good is picking voices and how people sound. And there's a frog behind you, mister. I've got frogs everywhere tonight. There's frogs on the step behind you. Don't stand on it.
Wow.
It's just amazing at the moment, but not good because there's snakes everywhere too.
The snakes eat the frogs.
Yes, they do. That's exactly what they come after, funnily enough. And if you've got lots of frogs, you'll find snakes around there
snakes behind you. Frogs, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's what, I mean, look, as I said, Ab, your the show has attracted like a beacon some of the best minds ever. So, you don't need to be a charismatic I think you are charismatic to us. We've attracted that many people.
Oh, thank you.
Like a moth.
I think people attract themselves to crowds more than anything.
Because you had O'Fallis was on last night and they had the cameras on. O'Fallis and Diogenes are both, you know, these good looking bearded thinker types, you know, in their early in their 30s. They're 20 years younger than us. Easy.
Yeah, that's true.
And a fella said he was the one that suggested Diogenes come over to Folkologist.
Yes, I heard that.
And it's true. But if you get what happened to Diogenes, he was on there with John Le Bon and Sarah and Velasquez, who are more on the John Le Bon kind of wavelength. And he was absolutely getting intimidated because they were attacking him and, you know, saying, what do you believe in this and do you believe in that? And he was contacting me going, you've got to come and help me. And I said, listen, I'm not getting, look, I don't do things like that anymore. It's like, if you can't fend yourself off, look, I've had an argument, a live argument with Dave J and SMJ at the same time. Sending texts to each other, you know, like, you know, but
Dave J would have blown him right out of the room.
Those are probably two of the best arguers on the planet, SMJ and Dave J. But either of them
have they ever fought?
I think SMJ gives Dave J a bit of respect, which he does to a few people. You know, like he could go in hard, but he doesn't. He just goes, you know.
It could be a J off. Have the two J's off. Two J, SMJ and Dave J.
Well, let me tell you, if you've got those two attacking, you know, these guys can
call it the J cage match between those two.
Oh man, no. But I thought the funniest thing, though, would be to listen to a podcast with Jan Irvin and who's the other guy that someone shared as Mark Passio, you know, because he screams at it, Mark Passio, and what's his name, Jan Irvin's like, he reminds me of Bert, you know, Ernie, you know, from Ernie and Bert.
Yeah, right? I'm not a big listener of him. Oh, we should probably get SMG and Rolo back into the cage, too. That's kind of fun to listen to, isn't it?
It'll be all over in 3 seconds if it was actually a cage fight. But it's not productive, and I think, I know Rolo doesn't mean any harm, but he's got this issue in his brain that he He thinks he's being funny by throwing those words around, and we know.
Yeah, that's not it doesn't funny. Work.
It doesn't work. Doesn't work at all.
Awesome.
But I'm saying that no, Dave. I think Dave J would have the most powerful arguing voice next to Mark Passio. Mark Passio, you know, the way he carries on screen. But if you had Dave J, Mark Passio, and Jan Ervin in one room together, that would be the most, because all three of them are good. The most argumentative scream fest you've ever heard. And that would be, I would pay money to hear that, literally.
But the other thing is about young people, and Diogenes, I suppose, is young. You find when you speak sternly to your children, they say, oh, he screamed at me, or he was mean, or he yelled, and you'd say, I didn't yell, I just spoke sternly. I'm not yelling at
him. She says that to me all the time. She goes, stop yelling at me. And I said, listen, you know when I'm yelling at you. I said, I'm just speaking with a different inflection.
Yeah.
To try and get my point
across. Young people are always saying, oh, he was so mean to me. I said, what did he do? He said, oh, I did something wrong. I said, that's not being mean to you. You guys are exaggerating.
Yeah, I agree. They have been told that anyone that disagrees with them is screaming at them. And that's not the case.
Yeah, way the wrong way for these young people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, 100%. And just the fact
that you're being aggressive with me, and my God forbid you talk to young people now. If you talk to them, they think something's wrong. They want you to text them so they can just ignore you. You go ahead and talk to someone. It's a whole new level of communication that just makes them quiver. Crazy.
Yeah, yourself and I, we're in the unusual kind of thing to be over 50 but still dealing with teenagers. You know, back in the day, we would be grandparents at this age.
Yeah,
literally.
True.
Yeah. You would have your kids at 18, 19, three or four of them or five of them, and they would be, you know, you'd be looking after their children right now, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
It's just unusual. But the good thing is our children will go through life with a completely different attitude than their friends that they've been educated. Like I've got my kind of upbringing from my grandmother, who'd be 100 and something now. She's dead. But I still quote things that she said, you're listening.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Tribe.
This is Lost Spider Flawless.
I'm Nightly News. Frank McManus.
Sarah Miller.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Rick and Ab, Nightly
News.
Halloween. Yeah, there was a whole lot of great people on that one. That was a good grab of some very good voices that have disappeared.
Yeah.
Should be, except for Frank McManus. Frank McManus, he's certainly on here.
Yeah, he's a little down these days, huh? Did you notice that?
I felt the same way today, to be honest, because I felt, and I was explaining to people, I said, what upsets me the most is when I get up in the morning and I open my window up, because I've got two shops. I'm in a kind of a village, but it's in the CBD, if you can imagine, of the small village.
All right.
And I open my blind up, and there are people walking past with masks on in an area where I can hear cows mooing in the background at night time. Well, there's farms.
Cows moo at night?
What's that? Sorry.
Cows moo at night? Don't they sleep?
No, they moo at night. Let me tell you. But there's tonight none.
Oh.
It's very quiet. Mm. Is there a full moon?
Is it called mooing, or is there a proper word for that?
Oh, I call it mooing. I think mooing's my non, because I'm not a very
I know that's the name of the sound, but is it an actual word? Would a farmer say, oh, Bessie is mooing, I gotta go milk her, or what?
I would say, yes, Ab, I would say that possibly would happen, but what other word could you use? The barking?
No. I don't know,
meowing?
No, they don't bark, they don't bray.
They moo. They moo.
Okay, so they moo. I just don't hear that often. I guess I haven't heard it enough.
Well, I'm...
The cows are mooing. Go milk them, Rick.
Well, no, thank you. But where I am, literally, I can hear at night, not tonight at the moment, but I can normally hear cows carrying on whatever they're doing. They start making their noises. Maybe they know what's going to happen to them shortly. They're going to get milked or killed, one of the two. and I hear it at night. So, but anyway, this is what upsets me. I open my blind up and I watch people walking out the front of my house to the little corner shop or to the post office, and they're wearing masks. And some of them, I do believe, are wearing two masks these days, because we've had an outbreak at the local primary school, which is about 10 minutes up the road from me. Someone, a seven-year-old, was found with COVID apparently on Thursday.
The whole school
shut down, and the kids had to go, and they weren't allowed to do trick-or-treating around the area. But my son went to a party, and he was out there trick-or-treating, and he was dressed as the Joker, 6'1", not a little kid, 6'1", dressed as a Joker, roaming around. But he's only just turned 15, so he's still at that age where trick-or-treating is still a pretty cool thing. And but that's what depresses me. It's the image of seeing the masks. And I know, as you know, we know as fakeologists, that the mask is a very psycholinguistic programming, or, you know, so it's reiterating that we're in a lockdown via these people that are wearing these stupid things, driving cars by themselves, walking by a beach, going to the beach, wherever they are, wearing masks. And that upsets me more than anything else, I think. Just to say, why would you have to wear one when you're walking around by yourself in between a business where you don't need to wear one outside the business, but they wear it anyway? And that concerns me. It makes me think that, you know, that what have we got? You know, we've got a zombie public, and we're the people that they can easily turn around and blame for whatever illness they get from their mask or their vaccine next year, this year, whenever. Are you there?
Will they even be walking around next year is the question. Yeah, oh, they got to step out for a
while. Yeah, all good.
Will they be here next year, these zombies? I know, that's depressing.
Yeah, it is. Well, I just think, I understand.
Give me two minutes, Rick, 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll ramble by myself. What the World Economic Forum and Lockstep 2010 and the 2001 one that Gates ran, if you look into those white papers and in-depth analysis of how they're going to go at certain stages of this pretend pandemic, they will use the visual cues, and that's the mask. The mask is a visual cue that we're in a pandemic. You don't need to wear it, but they've so beautifully, beautifully is technique-wise, to convince people to wear a mask in between going to a business they don't need to wear one.
How about in between bites at a restaurant?
Hey, exactly. And they're doing the same thing. Yeah. And I'll go past, there's a pub that's opened up only to the vaccinated, of course. You have to be vaccinated to go in there. But out the front, you'll see people wearing a mask and putting it in between drinks. They lift it up and beep, beep, beep.
Yeah,
no, it's frightening, frightening. And I did pick up today with these guys that I was at the stand in the park thing, that they're run down and they are getting angry about this thing, and we can't do that. We've got to stay focused and chilled about where we are, and not accused, because we've got to understand these people are brainwashed. It's not their fault that they're brainwashed, but they are brainwashed.
Yeah, I know. They don't even know they're brainwashed. Yeah.
No, they don't. And the children,
they don't know the enemy like we do.
No, they don't.
Actually, I get most depressed about the children, actually. That hurts me the most.
Oh, look, absolutely. And especially today, we were having this conversation with complete strangers were coming up to me and my mate. We turned up there and we didn't have yellow t-shirts on, because what you meant to do is dress up in yellow so they can identify you. And we both
Like the Sneetches.
Exactly. The yellow t-shirt or the yellow star, one or the other. And
That's not a good look.
Look, I don't want to be stand out in the crowd. I just like to blend in, but blending in by dressing up in yellow isn't what I call blending in. But a lady came up to us, and she, because this friend of mine and me both know our shit, you know, and I suddenly do realise too, when we bump into someone that has only just kind of woken up, how much we know and how much they don't know, and how naive they are. But they are kind of waking up, say, this is right, you know, this is, I want to do this, and my son stopped talking to me, or my daughter stopped talking to me, or I can't.
Yeah.
Get this one. My friend Theo, he lives about 10 minutes in the farmland area, like, so he's more in the countryside. And he said that last night his next door neighbours, and he said everyone around there all know each other. They've known each other for 20 years and they're all close friends. And one of them had their birthday, their 60th last night, and he did not get invited because they know.
Oh, wow.
He's not vaccinated.
He's not injected.
And he just said, he doesn't blame them, but he, And he said how they've got
the information. He doesn't blame them, but he does blame them, I guess.
He does, exactly, yeah. And this is where the frustration, and I can see, like today, when this guy, the organizer for the protest or the meeting today, he was nearly in a fight with this guy. He wanted a fight. You know, it was that close. You could see that this guy was going to start throwing punches. And the other guy was just saying, none of you are doctors. None of you are scientists. Where are you getting your science from? That was what he was saying. And instead of just, like, I would have gone up to him and say, listen, man, I'll give you some links of doctors, of scientists. They're all saying exactly what we believe in. Give me your email address. I would have been calm about it and not been aggressive. This other guy, because he's been so heavily involved in this protest thing, he's lost all his cool and he wanted to punch on with this guy. And it would have just been the worst thing ever, you know. Like, so luckily someone pulled him away and said, look, fill out, man. You know, like, this guy's just asking questions. And that's all he was doing. He was just saying, why? He goes, I believe you guys are threatening me. You know, that's what he was, because he was brainwashed by the mass media. He's obviously well-educated. When I say well-educated, I put that in brackets. I mean, brainwashed by his education system. And he was only querying where we were getting our information from. And this guy, the guy running the protest thing, he wanted to go and fight the guy for daring to query what he said. And I just think,
well, listen, you can't pound the information into a guy that thinks the other way. It's like beating the information into him. It's not going to work.
Well, you can't put a brain in a statue. Yeah, that's what I would say.
That's a good one. Is that an Australian saying?
It is possibly, yeah.
Mm. I like that. You can't put a brain in the statue. You know?
Yeah. And
you're frozen.
And that's the thing. But you can't also lose the plot and start threatening to punch someone because they don't believe what you've got. I think I've got enough through, you know, I would use FacoTube and some of the other areas of that have stored some good information that's been censored off the mainstream media by doctors, by scientists, by people that have been in the game, and let them think for themselves. You can't lose the plot anymore. But I do think that people like us are starting to get thin-skinned at this present stage. And like my daughter's got vaccinated last week, or 2 weeks ago. One shot.
Sorry about that, Rick.
It's her decision. She understands. She did it purely based on the fact that she will not be able to work, and she likes to earn money, and she's got a work ethic about it.
Oldest that's in New Zealand?
Yes, 20 years
ago. Oh, no. That's so depressing, Rick. It is. It's a loss. I put that in the loss column.
Yeah, and I said to her, if you want to come back here, we will pay $3,000 for you, to get, put into the, hotel quarantine. No problem. So you don't need to do it. But she goes, I don't want you guys to have to pay for this. She goes, it's not a problem. I'll just go and do it. And she went out and did it. And what can I do? I mean, I'm not going to lose the plot over it. It's like, I would have probably done the same thing being a, 20 year old and not wanting to listen to my father or mother, and thinking that they're old-fashioned boomers that are giving me bad advice and I don't know what I'm talking about.
Your wife isn't a boomer, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. And she'd said the same thing, though, because she said she'd had such a bad reaction. She didn't want her daughter to get the vaccine. But they're all being conditioned now by this repetition on mainstream media that, the people aren't doing.
How about we repeat some of the sudden death stories? I have you can make an alert on Google News, or there's other services, of course, but I use Google, which is probably stupid.
Yep.
But anyway, I have an alert for sudden death. So every day I get a new sudden death story, and they're all heart and almost all boys.
Yes, seven times more for boys. Luckily, my two sons are not vaccinated, and they're not going to get vaccinated as far as I'm concerned, but they're only doing it.
Well, make sure they repeat all these stories to them. Do you want to die immediately, suddenly?
Well, my youngest shared me tonight. He goes, oh, you ought to watch this, Dad. And it was Jim Carrey coming out on Jimmy Kimmel and doing the pyramid signs and doing those, and then talking about the Illuminati.
Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, yeah. He's such a bootlicker.
Absolutely.
And Jim Carrey is I don't know what his game is. I don't know which way
that's what I mean. This is how confusing it is, because my son said, Dad, you know, you got to watch what he says, because and I give it to him because he understood that, because Jim Carrey comes out and says that you're being controlled by the Illuminati, you're being done this, and Jimmy Kimmel was laughing away, and my son was kind of woken up to that thing, because he likes Jim Carrey as an actor. Is he Canadian?
Well, I like Jim Carrey too, but yeah, he's Canadian. He has some really crazy story where he lived in the car for a while up in near where I live. His dad was, I can't even remember, his dad was trying to be a comedian, had no money, and a whole real crazy poverty story. It's possible, but don't really believe it. Canada, we do have welfare here like you do. So
it's pretty hard to believe. Canada and New Zealand are very similar. And very hard to believe.
And Australia. We're all in the damn Commonwealth.
Well, that's what I'm telling you now. I know so many Canadians over here, and get this one, all unmasked, totally anti-masked. So when I say so many, I'm talking about four or five, you know.
So they're against the masks or for the masks?
Yes, against them, 100%. 100%. Oh, okay. Including, I was at a cafe on Friday.
But Canadians are cucks. We're cucks. At least in the cities. What? Let me qualify. Yeah. See, in the rural area, you're not in the conditioned cities. It's different. You know that.
Yeah. And I shared to Fakeologists tonight, but I deleted it, and I'm going to reshare it onto the Solutions page. But on the latest Freeman Fly, they've got Stefan Verstappen, who's living in Canada, but I believe he's American, but he does a thing on Solutions of setting our own communities up, and he's doing a live stream thing with Richard, what's his name? Is it Richard, the guy that does the 911? They had a Richard Grove, is it? Or Robert, someone Grove.
Yeah, Richard Grove.
Yep.
He did Tragedy and Hope.
That's the one. Stefan Verstappen's living in Toronto in the bushlands somewhere in the park, or you know, living quietly.
We have bushlands in Toronto. Where are they?
He's into martial arts and all the stuff, and he's done some good stuff. Anyway, if you check out the latest Freeman Fly, which I'll repost onto.
Freeman Fly. I think I've listened to him before. He's not bad.
The latest one with Stefan Verstappen on setting up your own communities is good. And he's doing
try and add that instead of deleting it.
I think it costs $1,000, but it's like a program that he said get as many people together to donate $50 and get the money together to pay for it if you want to share that information on how to set your own community up to get away from being in the situation that you might be in. I thought it was quite interesting. I shared it and then I deleted it because I thought, I listened to it and I thought, you know, the money angle, you know, people might pick up on, is he trying to make money out of it? But I don't think so. I think it's worth listening to his solutions to our predicament, I believe. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm signing off.
You want to, before you go, do you want to hear a 10-year-old speech on FakeO2?
Yes, do so.
I'm going to play it. I want to teach you how to play. I don't think you play YouTube, but I wouldn't mind teaching you how to play FakeO2 videos.
We'll just roll those things and pick it up. If he can do it, I can do it.
Oh, Rollo played a FakeO2 video?
No, he can play YouTube on whatever the thing. But play
I'm
it.
Gonna, I'm going to play it. I'll play the rest of the Soprano thingy, and then this will follow it. Talking to you, Rick. All the best. You're always entertaining. And
Good chat.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Pat Holden.
Was it a quack whore trying to get her kids back for the welfare money? Shut up.
Fuck that. I'll say it again. What the fuck is there to think about? You're gonna take care of his kids? After he's gone?
He dishonored me personally.
What do you want me to do? Put out an APB on the guy because he takes it up the ass? Huh? Dennis got late, she took off. She laughed at all this shit. Then the trip's over and she's back and she's one of us and she wants her peace. Well, let me tell you, she gets nothing because I got the scars, so it's mine.
Had been fired 3 weeks ago.
From Blockbuster? How the fuck you do that? They got Reese's Monkeys working as managers over there.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just there, that's all.
You sandbag me? I cut your fucking throat open.
How about the fact that I hate my son?
Like, come on, we're sitting on the computer in this fucking underwear.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Going back and forth with some other fucking jerk off. Giggling like a little schoolgirl. Wanna fucking smash his fucking face in.
What the hell are you doing?
I get a little drafty driving down here tomorrow. But I will have this fucking thing towed out of here and ground up in a fucking Brillo patch. I mean, look at it. You don't take care of it. Don't put me to the test. So what the fuck would I know about that?
Well, as coincidence would have it, he was last seen in New Jersey.
So was the Hindenburg. Maybe you want to look into that, too. This is my reward.
Your reward?
I do not betray my wife. I go out of my way not to have an affair with this woman, this very hot, very beautiful, intelligent woman. Of course, the way Carmela nursed me and cared for me. And my fucking turkey neck of a nephew winds up with his dick in there. A guy I gotta see every day. And this is my reward.
My mom and dad had known him for 15 years. He was in good health and never had any health issues. Stephen was awake and didn't want the injections, but he was put under pressure by his own family to get them. Stephen was found dead in his bed in Westbury a couple of weeks ago. 1 week after having the second dose of the vaccine. There was no doubt in his mind what killed him. He sent a message to my dad just 2 days before he was found dead, and I want to read his message to you. He said, I admit to something with shame. I've been jabbed. I would say I was pressured into it. I didn't believe it would help at all. It hasn't done me any favors, and it's more likely to kill me. I have regrets, I can tell you. I couldn't lie to you, though. How many people here know of someone who has died soon after being vaccinated? And I'm not interested in the rubbish that Boris Johnson has said that your vaccine doesn't count until 14 days have passed.
Yep.
The only reason he is saying that is because most victims die within 3 days. Some. Many people have simply dropped dead immediately after a vaccination. So I don't care how many days have passed. How many do we know of? Please raise your hands, if anyone knows. Wow. Okay, now I want those of you with your hands up to put them down if your friend, loved one, whoever it was, if the cause of death was anything other than COVID-19, a heart attack, a stroke, or multiple organ failure, if they died of anything else, please put your hands back down. Wow. There, just look. About 20?
Yep.
20. This is the actual evidence that these injections are kill shots. And that's just in this crowd. This number of people. Okay, you can put your hands down now. Okay, I want you to imagine this. Just cast your minds back to the beginning of 2020. We all heard about this deadly virus in China that was spreading around the world. Now, if in January 2020, all of the televisions broke down, how would you know today that you had just lived through a deadly pandemic?
That's right.
You wouldn't know, would you?
That's right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
There has never been any people getting sick all over the place, has there? Coughing, sneezing, spitting, or dying in the streets, has there? Everything you know about COVID-19, pandemics, viruses, and variants came to you through the television.
That's right.
All of it. Look around you in your environment. Does it look like you have just lived through a deadly pandemic? The Queen, bless her, is simple. Switch off the TV. The television is lying to you. Just switch it off and COVID-19 will immediately disappear.
Yes! Preach it, girl! Preach it!
I promise you, just switch it off. And the radio. Don't listen to any of it, please. It's the one single easy thing you parents can do to save your children's future. Next time Boris wants to lock us all down, he'll do the same thing. It was a global scam to bring in forced experimental injections for population control and a vaccine passport. Soon, you won't be able to buy a loaf of bread without showing evidence of vaccination.
That's right.
This is how they fake the death numbers when there was no deadly virus present.
Yes.
This was the trick they played on the masses to convince them that there was a deadly disease going around so they could then prepare the minds of the people to accept a new experimental injection. The effect of being injected with this new technology is that it causes flu-like symptoms to appear. There is your COVID-19.
Yep.
And if you hadn't been listening to the television or the radio through 2020, the world would not be in the mess it's in today.
That's right.
So, the first question you need to ask yourself is, if there is no virus, how can they have a vaccine against it? Which then makes you wonder, what exactly is it they are injecting into us? Now I'm just a 10-year-old, very nearly 11, in 2 weeks. So what could I know about anything? So please, don't believe what I say. Do your own research. Switch off the TV and start looking. It could be really interesting. So, anyway, this is my perspective on COVID-19. They are injecting into us a synthetic spike protein that was developed in the Wuhan lab in China. I want to repeat that. It is a synthetic spike protein, not a natural virus, funded by Dr. Fauci of the US and China. This is brand new technology known as mRNA. The M stands for messenger, so it's sending a message to all your cells. There are 40 trillion messages and one dose of the vaccine. The message is instructing your cells to create the dangerous synthetic spike protein all over your body. It gets inside your capillaries and starts manufacturing microscopic blood clots, which will, I imagine, over time gather more blood cells, becoming bigger and bigger, and clots, until one day, one of these clots clogs your brain or your heart. You could be walking around for months, maybe even a couple of years, before you are aware you have a health issue. If you then died, say, of a heart attack, it would say heart attack on your death certificate. It won't say you died due to a slow death caused by the COVID-19 vaccine you had a couple of years ago. You and your family would never make the connection. You will think it was just an unfortunate sudden heart attack and would never make the connection with the injection. Not until many had died and people start waking up. It has been said by many world experts that if you are double jabbed, your life expectancy is 3 to 5 years. These injections are literally silent weapons for quiet wars. I'm sure there were many placebos given out, but how many? Who knows? Our friend Stephen didn't get a placebo. The effect of being injected with this technology is that it causes flu-like symptoms to appear and therefore can easily be disguised as a virus. So to recap, in 2020 there was a fake pandemic. Death numbers were completely fake. Case numbers were fraudulent, caused by the misuse of the PCR test. At the end of 2020, an experimental injection was rolled out that caused flu-like symptoms. They are calling these symptoms COVID-19. But make no mistake, the deadly synthetic spike protein was created in a lab, and the instructions of how to make the spike protein have been put inside all of the injections. Now you parents must stand up for us. Your children, you must stop this government coercing and intimidating you into subjecting us kids to these risky, dangerous and unnecessary medical experiments. We are not your lab rats. We are your children. Do not let them do it any longer.
Yes!
Stop them now.
Yes!
They are lying to us. These injections are not warranted and offer no benefit to us. We children are relying on you, our parents, to safeguard our future. And we want you to take great care of that, no matter what. You must take action to end this war against us now. Enough is enough.
Yes! Go on, Jasmine.
Now, I want to address the parents, and what I'm going to say are true facts that can be checked by anyone. For example, these injections are experimental and are meant to combat a virus. A virus that has never been isolated in a lab. This begs the question, why are they injecting this synthetic spike protein into everybody? These injections have been rushed out under emergency use authorization when there is no emergency. Just look around you, in your environment. Has there ever been an emergency? Have you ever seen or heard or felt or smelt or tasted a deadly pandemic sweeping in this country? On top of that, it has been proved over and over again that safe drugs cure the 2019 flu virus they called COVID-19 prior to the rollout of the vaccines. Drugs such as hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, vitamin D and zinc. The government says that the injections will not stop you from getting the non-existing virus of 2020. The reason they say that is because the real virus was not put in the injections until the end of 2020. And as I said, this injected technology causes flu-like symptoms. So from December 2020, people have been suffering from a reaction to this technology, and the governments are calling this reaction a virus. And this reaction to the injections is being called COVID-19. But this reaction that is disguised as a virus is a direct result of the mRNA technology in these injections, which is why most people in hospital with COVID are double jabbed. What would you expect? In fact, Public Health England published new data just a couple of days ago in which they state that 70% of deaths from COVID are double jabbed. So, these people truly died as a direct result of this technology being injected into them. These people died for no reason because there never was a virus. They were murdered.
That's right.
Recent information suggests that 1 in 300 children get pericarditis from these injections. So it turns out that these COVID injections only protect you from one thing, being able to live a normal life. COVID-19 never was until it was put in the injections. If any decent, respectable, obviously not Chris Twitty, scientist or doctor can discredit this statement, anyone, anywhere in the world, then come forward and speak now.
Yes!
This is the obvious conclusion why most of the people who take the injections test positive for COVID afterwards. A healthy child has never died from their flu virus. Never! Since the rollout of the vaccine in the schools started less than a month ago, at least 12 healthy children have suddenly died. And yet, no one treats these sudden deaths after vaccination as suspicious. In every country where COVID is being played out, the overall deaths from any cause this year is far higher than any other year. And no one is asking why. Boris is now saying that the vaccinated need protecting from the unvaccinated. So hold on a minute. The vaccinated are protected, aren't they? That's why they got the vaccine, isn't it? So what do they need protecting from? I think the population needs protecting from Boris's delusions.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk to the children. Are you aware that vaccine take-up in schools is as low as 3.2% in some places and only 11% across the country? That is a huge victory for the 99%.
Yes!
All you children have to do is remember Ramesses and his song, "Don't take the vaccine." All you have to do is say no. How difficult is that? And all you teenagers, the injection does not stop you from getting COVID, and it doesn't stop you from passing it on. However, it can cause serious harm and injury, which could result in your child. Look, which could result in permanent harm, even death. Your immune system is very capable of getting rid of this virus without any medicines at all. So give me one reason why you would want to inject this poison in your body. If you say, well, I'm depressed, I would understand that far more than if you said, I want to go on holiday, or I want to go for the nightclub. If that's your reason for taking it, then Then understand that in your future, you will have to take it just to buy a loaf of bread. And the ongoing injections you will have to, will ensure you die at a ripe young age. In fact, they will be able to inject whatever they want into us. Once we start with this vaccine passport, it will never end, and it will ruin all of our lives. So friends, listen to me. We have to stand strong together today to guarantee a brighter, safer, and more secure future for tomorrow. Wake up, all of you. Your futures are on the line. You need to start doing research too. Then with confidence, come and join me and let your voices be heard. All you 12 to 15 year olds, did you know 80% of females are sterilized after having this injected into them? Did you want to have children in the future? Stop being afraid to speak out. Come and join me. Join me in London next Saturday when 10,000 children will meet in Parliament Square.
Yes! Preach it, girl! Preach it!
Boris Johnson, on behalf of all the children of the UK, please provide to me verifiable evidence that the virus you called COVID-19 in March 2020 has been isolated and shown to exist. So you mums and dads, say a very clear no way are my children having that poison injected into them. And to Boris Johnson and Chris Whitty and Sage, I am telling you again, you will never inject that poison into my body. Thank you.
Yay!
Oh.
Well done. Well done. Well done, Jasmine. Well done. Amazing.
Oh, that was
10 years old. Unbelievable. She makes Greta look like a stumbling, bumbling fool. Imagine that. So watch, I don't know when this was. It might have been a week or so ago. It might have been this weekend. But find this, I think her name is Justine. Look for her in London and grab whatever speech she does and pass me the link. That was, obviously she has very intelligent parents who wrote that. She wrote that and she's a genius, but I'm sure it was her parents. But the delivery was outstanding. Barely missed a beat. I don't think I could have done it even close to as well as that. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I played that from the FakoTube. Don't forget, you can play from FakoTube as well. And the instructions on how to do that are in the live stream pinned show notes. But that was absolutely, incredibly, intelligently brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. She didn't miss a beat, honestly. I don't know if there's anyone listening. I think there's, looks like one person in the UK is listening. If you want to join in, hit me up. Otherwise, I'm going to go now. I've talked to Rick on the Rick and Rollo Show.
That's all, folks.